Carlson. I'm the Chief Innovation Officer for CenturyLink, and I'm interviewing today Gabriel Monroy from Deus. He's the CTO, and I'm very excited to have him on and hear about him and the Deus project. And so could you tell us more about yourself, Gabriel?
Sure, yeah. First of all, thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity. So I've been working in IT operations for a long time, about 15 years now. I started off my career working for Intuit. I left there as a senior systems architect. From there, I went to work at a number of startups in the New York area and later as a freelance consultant. And most of the work I did was focused on deployment automation and developer tooling. So it was sort of a natural flow into kind of the land of Docker, and I've been a early and frequent contributor to the Docker project, and created Deus and open sourced it, in about August of last year.
Awesome. Well, it's a really, really cool project, and it's fun to watch. I myself built AppFog, the platform as a service built on Cloud Foundry, and so I'm very platform as a service is very close and near and dear to my heart, and it's really cool to see this new next generation kind of micro PaaS stuff coming out. So, could you tell us a little bit about Deus and what it is, why people want to use it? Just give us the pitch.
Sure. So, you know, the idea, you know, it's interesting that you bring up sort of the Cloud Foundry, perspective here. After Docker had come out, it was clear to me that the way that you would build application platforms for developers certain changes after the introduction of a primitive like Docker, right? You're going to do things differently than you might have before. So we were really interested in kind of tackling that problem head on and just figuring out what does a Docker pass look like. And for us from the get-go, we were really focused on the developer workflow portion of things, and probably less so on the underlying implementation. You know, we thought it was more interesting to figure out, well, now that Docker exists, how can developers actually operationalize this and use it? And we took a lot of inspiration, especially in the beginning, from Heroku. Heroku provided a really fantastic experience for developers and one we wanted to model. But over time, we really see ourselves as more of a Docker pass than as a kind of private Heroku, although we are that as well.
Yeah. Which is interesting because the whole Docker project came out of the .cloud platform as a service. So it's interesting how Docker came out and yet is birthing these new PaaSes. So how do you see it different than Heroku or Docker or .cloud?
Well, we really buy into the whole sort of 12-factor methodology, the idea that the best way to build applications to scale horizontally is to make them sort of stateless and follow a number of rules for sort of best practices for distributed systems and service-oriented architectures. So, that was kind of a natural fit for us. In terms of different than .cloud, I actually truthfully wasn't that familiar with .cloud's platform. I know they were doing a ton of interesting things with services and databases, but from our standpoint, we really like the idea that you could have these horizontally scalable, stateless applications connected to a load balancer, and then attach those to backing services that are managed separately from the platform in a lot of cases, loosely coupled, and often managed using traditional means. That's one of the things that we really purposely don't do in Deus today, because we're really so focused on trying to get the stateless application part right.
I see. So Deus is really focused on the application code and running the application code. It doesn't handle services. So you can you or can you not spin up MySQL and Postgres within Deus?
Nope, you cannot. As someone with many years of ops experience, running databases inside containers, makes me a little nervous, at least today. I think that's going to change over time. But, you know, if I'm a DBA and, you know, I'm, you know, telling someone that, you know, your data is under var, lib, docker, VFS, GUID, whatever, and you don't have a choice of underlying block device that you can put it on that's distinct from the rest of your containers. You know, there's just a lot of problems there, not to mention how do you properly do backup restore, disaster recovery policy. All those things need to be thought out properly, and you know, one of the things that that we implemented early on in the early days of Docker was the dash V flag for bind mounting files from the host to the container, something we needed, and we know firsthand that there's a ton of problems with things like UID, GID mappings, and stuff like that if you're actually running production databases, and you know, we just kind of want that stuff to sort out a little bit over time, and you know, I still think even after it becomes possible or recommended to run databases, I still think that Dace will have the idea of a service gateway that is used to do service attachments in a kind of Heroku style, loosely coupled fashion.
Very cool. So for me, I think that that helps me understand more what you guys are doing. It helps the audience understand better. So the two big things that I would take away from your description is that Dace, the big part of the difference between Deus and Heroku or Deus and .cloud is, one, that you can run it on your own stuff. That's a huge differentiator. And two is that it doesn't deal with services, so you have to do your services on your own. So I think that makes sense for me. Some of our audience will know things like Flin and Doku as other PaaS alternatives for Docker. How do you see it different? Where does Deus... where is its strong points, and how do you see it differentiated from some of the other Docker PaaS out there?
Yeah, so first of all, Doku has been around forever. Jeff Lindsay is a really talented developer, and I consider him a friend of mine. And we took a lot of inspiration from the early days of Doku. But as people may or may not know, Doku is a single host and only designed to be a single host PaaS. So there's obviously a key difference right there. But a lot of the concepts, the way that build packs are integrated with Docker, we took a lot of inspiration there. We contributed to the build step project and the like for a while. So, with regard to Flin, that's really pretty interesting, and I think there's a number of differences between the two projects. There's philosophical differences, technical differences, and sort of differences in just general approach to the ecosystem. So maybe we can spend some time kind of talking through those. So first on kind of the philosophical side, the Flin guys did a great job coming up with like a specification, right? This like big spec doc that kind of described how everything would work, and they're really smart guys, and the spec's really well done. We had a kind of a different approach, and our approach was premised on the idea that we don't really know how things are going to play out with technology as new as Docker. Like, who could have predicted, the stuff that the HashiCorp guys are doing, right? Back, when we were doing this stuff, and or that CoreOS and Fleet was going to advance in the way that it did. So, rather than kind of saying, this is like a the Bible, and we're going to kind of go after that, we started first with what is a workflow that can get developers moving right away today, even if it means some code that may not be as pretty or some integrations that may not be ideal. But how can we get people testing a workflow so that we can learn from that workflow and improve the underlying implementation over time? So philosophically, that's a real big difference. Technically, the Flin project is incredibly ambitious, especially given how few developers they have. They're writing really everything from scratch in Go. There's no sort of real external dependencies, and we aren't doing that. We're more focused on working with other players in the community who are focused full time on things like CoreOS or Fleet, or there's some other companies that we're talking with right now that have different scheduling implementations that we hope to integrate with Deus as well. So we're kind of happy to use third party off the shelf components where they make sense, just always with an eye towards what is the best end workflow for the developer.
Makes sense. So is it Deus is built to be single tenant or multi tenant?
You know, we haven't done a ton of the work right now to make it multi-tenant and do proper isolation and C groups. And, you know, if you're really doing multi-tenant, there's some stuff you should be doing for kernel hardening and, you know, a lot deeper on, you know, resource constraints. So right now, most of the deployments and most of the customers that we work with are, you know, single tenant, you know, though multiple applications, you know, yeah, single tenant.
Okay, makes sense. For multi-server Deus, when you have to grow beyond a single server, like the Doku is stuck on a single server, how does that work?
Yeah, it's really based on the way that you scale an etcd cluster. So as you add nodes, you know, you're going to have to, you know, typically the way this works is you plug in a discovery URL endpoint so the etcd nodes can find each other. But really, you just add hosts to the cluster, they discover each other, and they automatically get included in the scheduling logic.
Very cool. Yeah. So it seems like there's a lot of CoreOS integration into Deus, and the 0.8 release really made that solid. So can you tell us how does Deus and CoreOS interact? How much is CoreOS, how much is Deus, and in what way do they leverage each other?
Sure. So, you know, CoreOS, you know, much like Docker, provides a great set of primitives for building something like an application platform. You know, Docker provides core containerization technology, and then CoreOS provides, you know, etcd, which is a terrific way to do service discovery, as well as Fleet, which is a terrific way to do job scheduling. And you know, I have a lot of faith in those guys, and you know, they're doing great work, and the Fleet project is improving rapidly. So we're really interested in kind of evolving as they evolve. Now, you know, where does you know, Deus begin, right? You know, that's an interesting question. Well, for CoreOS, kind of the entry point to CoreOS is systemd unit files. And writing systemd unit files that may or may not have some special Fleet metadata inside of them. And that's great if you're into that sort of level of system administration, but if you're looking for just kind of an off-the-shelf platform that works, you're going to need to do things like routing containers, ambassador, you know, sidekick containers for things like logging, announcing. You're also going to need authentication, authorization. You're going to need a database that's going to track builds and config changes and releases. And there's a whole set of platformy stuff that CoreOS is just not designed to solve. But if you want a pass, you need that stuff. So that's really what we are laser focused on, and we are you know, happy to work with you know, CoreOS and Fleet, and also others who can make you know, a great way to schedule Docker containers across a distributed system. Frankly, we just submit, you know, the jobs and you know, make sure it's all connected to the router. And again, try and stay focused on that work, on that developer workflow. And we have some interesting things planned in that space too.
Yeah. So you bring up two interesting things. One is I want to hear what's next for Deus. But the other thing that you bring up is ambassadors, which I've written about a little bit. How does Deus and ambassadors, is it something that you're building into Deus, or is it something that you're just supporting people introducing into their systems at an application level? How do you think about ambassadors?
So, you know, part of the idea with Deus is that we do all that stuff for you. And best practices for those type of things evolve. You know, they evolve over time. They evolve as Docker gets better. They evolve as best practices evolve. So, you know, right now when you scale a container inside of Deus, we actually spin up three containers. We spin up the container that you asked for. We spin up a log container, which does per container log aggregation through our sort of separate log channel. And then a announce container, which is our, also known as the presence container, which announces, you know, does a health check on the container to make sure it's listening or you know, healthy, and then publishes that to the etcd so that we can publish it on the router. And that's how we get things like zero downtime to deploys and all that. So, you know, could you write all that stuff yourself? Yeah, sure. But, you know, it's a pain not only to get working the first time, but also to make sure it stays up to date as best practices evolve.
That's very cool. That's very neat. So does Deus have any integration to the Docker index, or do you build containers for your application using the build pack, build step stuff?
So this is you know, where I wanted to share a little bit of what we have planned. So we started off with kind of this Git push Heroku style workflow, and that works great for a ton of people, and we're happy with it, and you know, it's done its job. Going forward, though, we really see the idea of Docker Pass as moving beyond the Git push process. One of the big advantages of Docker is that you can actually take a built image and promote it step by step through like a CI/CD pipeline and not have it change. But every time you Git push into Deus or Heroku or whatever, you're actually going and fetching a runtime from a third party, and your source code didn't technically change. There's lots of other things that might have changed that means that your image is not bit for bit compatible. So something that we hope to show off at DockerCon is a new workflow that bypasses the Git push process, but is still deeply integrated with kind of the 12-factor model for promoting existing Docker images, whether they are on the public index or on the private registry, and promoting those through Deus the same way you would Git push build.
Cool. So would that enable more services like MySQL and Postgres, or are you still staying away from that?
We're still staying away from that. Could you run them? Sure. But it's not something that we recommend, because at the end of the day, unless you've made the containers, replicate amongst each other and sort of ephemeral and design that in to your kind of database, if the host goes down, you're losing your data, and we don't want people to be doing that on the platform.
So what do you use for your router layer, your router mesh?
Right now we use Nginx. We've had some discussions with some of the folks that are working on Vulkan D. We think that that's a really promising project going forward. There are some other projects that could potentially allow Deus to be a little more dynamic, but between using Conf D to template out Nginx and do soft reloads on it has proven to be surprisingly scalable. So we've been very happy with that today.
Is there a head node that you need to have a public address for the router mesh, or is the router mesh something distributed as well?
So yeah, so we actually have, and something we're going to be announcing in our 09 release is HA routers, so you can run as many routers as you want. We recommend three for most deployments. Using Fleet, those are going to be conflict with each other, so they'll be spread out across our minimum three-node cluster. And then we typically recommend you use something like Wildcard DNS, balance traffic across. Honestly, most of the real-world deployments of Deus have some front-end load balancer in front of our router mesh that's doing SSL termination, caching, and is actually exposed. Another way to think about the router is, one of the things that Deus is doing is making it possible to horizontally scale different sets of applications represented by containers. And in order to access those containers, you need a router that is aware of, which ones are healthy. But we don't actually see a lot of people connecting kind of our router mesh directly to the public internet. We recommend, some sort of front-end load balancer. ELB, if you're on EC2, is a great solution.
Got it. Is anybody hosting Deus, a managed hosted Deus? Is OptiDemand? I know Deus is the open source project, and OptiDemand is the parent company. That's the company you work for. You guys work on premise Deus, but are you working on anything that's hosted managed, so that people that want Deus but don't necessarily want to install it themselves might be able to come to you or somebody else?
It's a good question. So first of all, OptiDemand, as you mentioned, is the commercial entity behind Deus, the open source project. We sell professional services, support contracts, subscriptions, for Deus deployments, and that's how we sort of fund the open source effort. We've got six guys now, and we're growing, we're hiring. So if you're interested in writing Go and distributed systems, come find me. But yes, so was the question about like a hosted version of Deus?
Yeah, hosted. So that somebody who wants to get started with Deus but doesn't want to install it themselves can come to some service. Is there a provider or is that OptiMan thinking about something like that?
You know, ultimately, we probably will get there. For now, you know, we're really just focused on getting the platform part of Deus right. And, you know, we got a lot of work to do there. And we are working with a ton of customers right now who are, you know, happy to, we do go out and do installations of this on-premise, typically, bare metal, type environments. But yeah, no, we're focused on letting people kind of install this in their own environments, helping them with that to the extent they need help, and maybe down the road we'll look at some hosted solutions.
Cool. What do you think is the biggest problem in real life Docker adoption today for organizations, for people just getting started with Docker, trying to figure out how to implement it into their workflows? What do you think is the biggest barrier today for Docker?
That's a fantastic question. We work with a ton of customers who face these same challenges, and you know it really varies. I mean, you know, some companies have a really high tolerance for experimentation and that sort of thing. But I found probably the biggest barrier is that some applications, as written currently, just don't fit inside of a Docker container. Part of the idea behind Docker is that you should really be splitting up services, monolithic services, into their sort of natural components and moving towards a kind of an SOA architecture. And the reality is, when we go talk to customers about using Deus, and sometimes we have to spend most of the time getting their apps into a place where they can leverage Docker. And it's different than virtualization, right? A lot of people compare the advent of Docker to the advent of virtualization, but one of the big differences there is that virtualization allows you to take existing machine images and run them unmodified inside of a VM, and that's not really true with Docker. There is some work that you have to do in most cases to get your application code to run inside a Docker container, and I see that as probably the biggest hurdle to adoption.
Not to go into too much detail, but what do you think is kind of the most common things that you have to do?
There's a lot of moving from templated configuration files to environment variables. There's a lot of, and if you don't want to do that, which a lot of people don't, implementing sort of shared configuration through like service discovery mechanisms like etcd instead, because that's typically a better option than statically injected environment variables. So the confd project, which we contribute to, is a great way to help bridge that gap for non service discovery aware applications. So you can write out like template files and help processes inside of containers if the app doesn't do that in memory.
Great. What about persistent file systems? I know this is something that matters more for kind of traditional legacy applications, CRM applications. How do you? I'm so glad that you added the -v to the Docker command, but. But when you go into something like CoreOS and you have multiple systems, -v doesn't do much help for that persistent file system.
Actually, you guys wrote a great post on this about true like replicated file systems. This just gets back to part of the reason why we're not tackling state inside of containers yet, because it's rapidly evolving and we're not clear where the chips are going to fall. I think that. In my mind, if there was some sort of GlusterFS shared file system style service underpinning a series of Docker hosts, that could be an incredibly powerful way to get state working. But I have some experience with GFS or one of those, and there's running those in production is very tricky.
Yeah.
And not only that, the I/O performance for those type of file systems is terrible, and that's not exactly what you want for your database, right? You don't want crappy random I/O because you have a shared file system underpinning everything. So again, you know, it just goes back to, you know, if you got a production database, especially one that's going to be multi-tenant, we recommend you use something like Chef to just manage it the old way and connect it up to, you know, iSCSI array, you know, how you traditionally do it, and not take risks there.
Yeah, and for the post that you mentioned, I actually brought up the idea of containerizing BitTorrent Sync and using volumes to mount volumes through BitTorrent Sync, but it's not meant for databases either. That's really meant for things like uploaded content. When you upload an image, if you have a CRM and you have to upload a PDF or a picture or something, and if you have a distributed system, you've got 100 nodes you don't want a 1 in 100 chance that you're actually going to see the content you've uploaded. And I hate the idea of having uploaded content going into a database. Obviously, going into something like an object storage is ideal, but that can sometimes get tricky, especially if you're dealing with something like WordPress. So I think there's this middle ground of applications that do want some persistence, but don't require transactional I/O at the level of a database.
Yeah, and then that's an interesting point, and to me there's a difference between stateful and ephemeral, and that's an important distinction to point out. You know, the containers that are deployed on Deis, for example, it's not so much that they can't hold state, it's that they have to be able to be ephemeral and disappear at any time. So if you can build around that, it's possible to use containers to store state, but that's often not easy to do with things like file systems. But, you know, the approach that you had mentioned could be a good fit for things like a WordPress, upload store.
Yep. And how would you think about, I was looking a lot into Gluster and NFS for containerized Gluster and running the Gluster server within a container. But you mentioned something that I hadn't thought of is, or maybe I misheard, a Gluster server to run the underlying Docker file system itself in the var Docker folder. Did I misunderstand that, or is that what you're
thinking? No, that was what I was proposing, and you know, I honestly haven't thought enough about it to.
It's an interesting thought.
To pretend I know what I'm talking about, but you know, in theory, if you were able to cluster varlib Docker. I think there may be some sort of core issues with the Docker engine sharing some stuff inside that folder that may not be designed to be clustered. But if there was a way to maybe tackle that at the Docker engine side, it's possible to get, you know, fast host level performance for something like varlib Docker, and that could be an interesting approach.
That's very interesting. So, what do you think about the future of Docker and CoreOS? Do you think that these technologies are going to become staples and standard technologies that developers and ops guys adopt kind of as commonly as we now use Git within the next 5 years? Or do you think that it's going to be something different?
And that's a great question. The first way I'd answer that is that, you know, those of us who work with Docker and these technologies are, you know, in our own bubble, and we hear everyone using Docker and working on Docker, and it's taking over the world and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you try to get out of that bubble and talk to, you know, some of the guys in the trenches, they're worried about uptime of services that are miles and miles away from being inside a Docker container. So, I think it's very possible and probably likely that Docker is going to sort of become the de facto way of containerizing new greenfield type applications. And I certainly hope so, and everything seems to be pointing in that direction. But there's still so many workloads out there that are just not going to be rewritten anytime soon, that aren't, for whatever reason, a good fit for a Docker container. And they're going to have to be managed with traditional tools for a while. And that's, I try to temper my enthusiasm about Docker with, you know, kind of the realities of that some of these enterprises we talk to are facing.
And do you have any statistics about Deus adoption? Do you have any idea of how many people are using it? We can obviously see the stars and the forks on GitHub, but do you have any usage information that you can share?
There's over 100 Deus clusters out there that we know of. We have no, unfortunately, the way open source goes, but there's really no way to know any more than that. But we do know that. I'd love to have a better answer for that, and so would our CEO.
My last question is, you have a great slogan, your PaaS, your rules. Can you explain what that means? What does that mean to you? What is the meaning behind that slogan?
You brought up before that one of the important things about Deus is that it's run on your hardware. And it's run in, you get to choose your network topology and your hosting infrastructure and your cloud providers and all that stuff. And I think more than anything, the slogan is about that. It's about this idea of a private platform that you run and has your, architecture, behind it. Over time, I think that, one of the things we don't mean by that is one of the things that the Flynn guys do really great is, this idea of building sort of modular components that you can sort of swap out. We're more of the mind that we want to package together a solution that you can run wherever you want, but it doesn't require a ton of tinkering. It just kind of works out of the box. That's your PaaS, your rules.
Great. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you, and I'm sure the audience is going to be really excited to hear about you and understand Deus. I think this is a great introduction, so I appreciate this. I'd love to keep in touch, and as Deus progresses, we should continue talking about the future of Docker and where things are going.
Great. Thanks so much, Lucas.